Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. I don't know about you. I've been Comey'd out. I'm in a coma from Comey. I don't mean that negatively. I've been watching James Comey all morning. And yeah, there's plenty of sports to get to. Charles Barkley. It's a good day to have Charles on board because I'm guessing that he would much rather talk about James Comey, Bill Maher, Kathy Griffin than going through what's been going on with the NBA Finals. Now, last night was not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. But once again, we see that the Cavaliers' game plan on how to build a team just blows. It's not good. So we'll talk with Charles about that. And also, it's the 25th anniversary. This is going to make some of you feel very, very old. 25th anniversary of Charles being traded to Phoenix is next week, which means it's the 25th anniversary of Paxson's shot where Danny Ainge did not rotate over, which means those of you that don't like Danny Ainge or didn't like Danny Ainge, and I like Danny. I wasn't here when it happened. But that he lost Paxson, you will hold that against him forever. Charles, I want to go down memory lane a little bit with him on that for some written content we'll do over on the website. And we'll also talk with Charles about the NBA Finals versus the NHL Finals. He dropped in on Wayne Gretzky in Nashville, of all places. And was it his way of taking a shot at the NBA, saying, you guys get your act together? And then what's next for him and all sorts of things. That's with Charles Barkley. Goody at the Movies is with us today. Every week, you know what's going on in the world of sports. I want you to have a life outside of sports. That means Bill Goodykoontz, AZ Central, Gannett Chief, film critic, media critic. I'm sure we're going to work some Comey coverage in with Bill with the way that has gone this morning. Plus, Bill saw The Mummy. It was funny. I was reading his review, and I'm not going to give it all away. So Bill's review, front page of the Republic Life section, and he starts with, I really do like Tom Cruise. And then he just crushes the movie. And then he goes back and says, but I really do like Tom Cruise. And then he just continues to crush and rip this movie apart. It looks dreadful. But we'll talk with Bill about that. So I think, you know, to start the day on the show, we should go through the NBA Finals and what transpired last night. So when LeBron James plays as well as he did in the first half, and in the second half he doesn't do a whole lot, and he's got guys like J.R. Smith and Shumpert around him that can't hit the broadside of a barn, couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. I'm going to use all the cliches, all the lines. We're stuck here with Golden State about to sweep out the Cavaliers 118-113. Did you see the game last night, E?
Oh, yeah. Saw the whole thing.
Start
and
to
it's
finish?
It's interesting. You mentioned Bill Goodykoontz and movies. I tie in the NBA Finals to the big summer blockbuster that you've waited so long to see. You've been waiting months to see it, and then you
Star
see it.
Star Wars.
And it's as big of a disaster as the NBA Finals are.
That would be Star Wars.
Yeah.
I've heard some people say Star Wars doesn't hold up in this day and age, that it was poorly put together. And I think your analogy is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, Star Wars for us, it's a different generation. May want to take the bottle off.
Might
that
want to
cap.
Take the lid
that
off.
Would help. Yeah, there we go. Good. You know, yeah, but that's the first thing I thought about because we waited, what, 2.5 weeks and the build up, and it's Cavs Warriors 3.0, and it's the deciding of the three. You know, the Cavs won one, the Warriors won one. This is who's going to win this one. And, well, it's 3-0.
Didn't you feel like when Durant had the ball in the closing seconds, he was just going to dribble down and slowly, methodically hit a three?
Yeah, because he's unguardable. I mean, I feel bad. Not just the Cavs can't guard him, nobody can guard him. And he is showing that this is how I'm going to win my first NBA title. I am not going to be the sideshow to Steph and the sideshow to Clay. I am a megastar just like those guys are, probably bigger.
If I'm sitting here and I'm Ryan McDonough, then I'm probably putting a for rent sign out front of my house, right? There's no way the Suns are going to even come close to where the Warriors are for the next decade.
That was
right?
A long time.
Right? I mean, if you think about
you look at their youth.
Right.
None of those guys are old except for Andre Iguodala.
And he can play.
And he can still play a little
bit. That's the thing is, when the Cavaliers go to their bench, like I thought the last 2 minutes of the first quarter last night is when they lost the game. LeBron goes to the bench, and man, these guys just cannot shoot. They're doing paint chippers, glass chippers. That's where they're shooting shots. They're just clanking off the rim, and the orange paint goes, or they're shooting it off the backboard, and it's, I'm watching this, and it was just bad basketball. It really was. And this is supposed to be the finals. And then at halftime, I can't get through like 10 seconds of Michelle Beadle. I got to grab the remote and dive and push any other channel. I went over to Granky. because he was pitching last night. And she's trying to ask the commissioner about what they're going to do to make the games competitive and what's your take? Everything's got to have a take to it. Well, the take is I'm the commish and this is a great product in his humble opinion. In my humble opinion, not so great. So we'll talk with Charles about that.
And well, I'm just going to interrupt you real quick, Brad. You mentioned the bench scoring. The Warriors outscored the Cavs bench 23-11. So you do the math on that.
Do we need to do that? Is this the greatest team of all time nonsense?
No, but I the only time I really bring that up is when you hear people comparing like LeBron to Jordan.
And that's obnoxious after a while.
I think so, too, because it's a different generation. I mean, Jordan didn't have to go through these super teams like the Warriors have. It's you know, everyone's like, oh, LeBron or Jordan, and you just can't compare the two because it was different eras of basketball.
I would disagree with you about super teams. I think the NBA is loaded with teams that aren't any good.
Agree.
Okay, so,
but you wouldn't disagree that this Warriors team has a chance to be the greatest team in the history of the NBA.
There's no question about it. But I think the Spurs teams that had David Robinson and Tim Duncan, right? The Spurs team they went through this year had an aging Ginobili. Parker got hurt because he's older.
Right.
Tim Duncan's not even there anymore. So you're talking about they had to go through Kawhi Leonard, and he got hurt by Pachulia. Pachulia is a stiff, by the way. Man, the way that he does do some of his cheap shot stuff, and then he's the typical, I didn't foul anybody. Like, no, dude, you like completely threw your elbow into his chops and sent him flying.
Like Tim Duncan used to do back in the day. Man, I can't believe I just put those two in the same sentence together.
But seriously, Eric, the Clippers team of this year, was that a great team? Heck no. They had to go through the Jazz. Were the Jazz a great team? No, they're a team that's going up, but I wouldn't call them a great team. Like, you and I have seen the Suns for all these years, and that's why I'm hammering Robert every other day about, dude, it's been 10 years almost since you've been in the postseason, and the teams in front of them aren't very good. So did Jordan have to go through teams like what LeBron's going through? I'm not comparing LeBron and Michael. I'm comparing the brand of basketball that we are seeing. This is a brand of basketball that is really of kids through the AAU circuit. AAU basketball was not a big deal, or was just coming into its own when Jordan played. The AAU player can't use his left to save his life. The AAU player, all they care about is the ability to dunk or hit a three-pointer. There's no mid-range jump shot. There's nothing at all in the AAU player. It's very unfortunate. And so, you know, when they're talking about age restriction, age limitation, that high school kids should be allowed immediately to go to the NBA, if I'm a consumer and I've got to go pay to watch a kid who's on training wheels, come on. I don't see how the NBA can get out of this box that it's in right now because the Warriors are built for the long term. Lonzo Ball worked out yesterday for the Lakers, and I love the fact he didn't even wear his own $495 shoe. So the dad makes a big deal out of, We got big baller brand. So Lonzo shows up yesterday, and he's not even wearing his own brand. Love that story. The Diamondbacks last night, the game took 3 hours and 48 minutes, first and foremost. And I'm not one to bitch about length of games, but I'm going to bitch about length of game last night. I'm sitting there waiting for it to get over, and I'm prepping for today's show. And I could tell that if Brenly was uncensored, if he could just take the microphone and say what he was thinking, I think it would have a few strongly worded directions towards the Padres pitchers. This was one of the longest games. And the Diamondbacks won. They win 7-4. Rodney comes in the ninth inning. He does his thing. And Jake Lamb and Brandon Drury hit home runs. Greinke wasn't very good last night. He only went 5 innings. He threw 102 pitches.
You know what is good, though, Brad?
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks are 11 games over 500.
11 games over 500.
It is June 8th.
Yeah.
They are 11 games over 500. They are 2 games out of first place in the NL West.
When was the last time that happened, do you think? It would take some research. As bad as they've
been. We'd have to think about it. Yeah, not in the last 4 or 5 years.
No way.
No way.
No way sitting here in June. And the thing is, when I'm watching them, it's sustainable. Like, they may finish 10 games back. Because, I today's a big game. Today's a day game, and Corbin is throwing today. Corbin's not been good.
No.
He's the nibbler. I see a friend of mine yesterday has this little sign. It says the nibbler. He puts it on his desk at work every time Corbin pitches, because that's all Corbin does. He just kind of goes here and kind of goes there. And I'm, what I'm getting at when I'm watching them play is a team that has some grit. You know, Lamb hits his home run. Drury hits his home run. If you go back now on the Justin Upton trade, Justin Upton was traded. Brandon Drury was part of that trade. Delgado was part of that trade. Okay. Was that trade now in hindsight a bad trade?
I don't think so.
Heck no. No, but people crushed the Diamondbacks for making that deal. I mean, just destroyed them for that. It's not a bad deal. Some college football that's on my mind. Then we'll get to Charles. We'll take a break here in a minute. Bryce Perkins, the quarterback at Arizona State. Now, this story has many layers to it. We know that a lot of you college fans have been asking and wanting to know about the quarterback situation at ASU. It's not a surprise that Bryce Perkins left Arizona State. What is a surprise to me, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised by this, is he's decided to go the route of JUCO. In this day and age, we don't see many high-end recruits. Eric, he was like player of the year, runner-up?
I think he was runner-up player of the year.
So a runner-up player of the year could leave Arizona State and then just transfer to Northwestern.
Yep.
Transfer to Georgia Tech.
Or sit out a year and go start over again.
But he's decided. Now, I don't know if it's his grades. It could be grade-related. But Bryce Perkins has decided to humble himself. This is a former runner-up player of the year. He's going to go to Arizona Western. He's going to go to Yuma. There's nothing in Yuma for a guy to do except go play football and try to stay on the right path. And I don't know if there's a college, because it used to be that colleges would stash players at Arizona Western. You know, they'd go down. I think Dennis Erickson when he was at Miami. I think even Dennis Erickson when he was at ASU. Chris Young came out of down there, that Dennis would stash guys.
Arizona Western is a school that doesn't just recruit Arizona. They have kids from Florida, California,
yeah.
Texas.
Yeah. So it's a story that we're going to do on the website because I'm really fascinated by it. All right, Charles Barkley on the other side. Good at the movies. It is a great Thursday. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Charles Barkley joins us live. It is a great Thursday. The NBA Suns legend, Hall of Famer, NBA on TNT. He is involved in many, many projects, which I'm very happy to see as someone that has seen him through the years. When you've got your series right now, or you're just wrapping it up, that has nothing at all to do with basketball, but has everything to do within community, I'm very pleased to see that. I'm curious, Charles, on this day, you've been watching Comey this morning. Have you been watching the testimony of the former FBI director today at all?
Well, unfortunately, I have. And I think just another waste of our time. Don't think anything good going to come out of it. But it's just frustrating dealing with politics right now, man. It's just so embarrassing and disappointing for people. And I feel bad for these people out here.
You have a side on this one? I mean, Comey calls Trump a liar, and it's the former FBI director. Do you have a side on this one, Charles, or is it just the whole thing that you're seeing today? Because this is the big story of the day in our country.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not a big Trump fan. I mean, I think most people know that. Very disappointed that we elected him. Just sad for our country that we've been so divided on this Republican, Democratic, liberal, conservative thing, which is stupid, I might add. Just disappointing in President Trump with the Muslim ban. Disappointing with the way he's trying to treat some of these immigrants, especially in Arizona. But these people elected him, and they get what they deserve.
Where do you come down on some other news cycle things, Charles? I'm going to get to the Suns in a minute, but with Kathy Griffin and Bill Maher and comedians, you're one that you've expressed your opinions openly in the last week. Here's two people that have big platforms just like you. She loses her job. Bill Maher has been under siege. I'm sure you've seen both of those situations. You have a thought on what's gone on with those two?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Kathy Griffin, what she did was wrong. But, you know, and obviously, depending on what you think with Bill, man, when you're a comedian, you're trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're going to cross the line. I mean, that's the thing. You don't know you cross the line until you cross the line.
Have you crossed the line before, Charles?
I crossed the line one time in Philly. when I made a joke that wasn't an appropriate joke.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing against a bad team, and we came back and won the game, but we played off and just got lucky and won. And I said, this kind of game you lose to the bad team, you make you want to go home and beat your woman.
Mm.
And that was totally inappropriate because you can't never hit a woman. I thought I was being funny, but I was being stupid. So I probably, a couple other times I might have crossed the line. But listen, when you're trying to be funny as a comedian, what is the line? Is it race? Is it ethnicity, immigration, the Muslim ban we're talking about, which I don't like either? Like, I just think that Bill and Kathy were trying to be funny, and it wasn't funny. And then you're at the mercy of public opinion.
Right, right.
And then when you're at the mercy of public opinion, that's why I tell my friends, always save your money. Always save your money just in case you get fired. When they call you and say you're fired, that's bad. But that's why you have to always save your money, because people who think you're funny, people can't drive. I'm standing outside. I apologize.
You're right.
But that's the thing, though. You don't even know when you cross the line until you cross the line. And I know that sounds simple and stupid, but when you're trying to be a comedian, the line's always moving, and then you keep trying to be funny, and then one thing you say something, and then it's too late. You're fired.
Yeah. What's interesting is, and we're talking with Charles Barkley, is you and I have visited like this on issues for almost 25 years now. And this conversation at times when I'm talking to you about these things, I'm kind of wanting to take a pen and run it through my eyeball that you and I are even having these discussions. But because it's like it's so dumb where society has gone on a lot of levels. But they are part of where we are today, and I don't know how to get it back. I think you've been trying to do that in your latest TV show over on TNT to show people a different side of society. Would I be correct in assuming that?
Well, number one, I wanted to the first episode is about the relationship between the black community and the cops. And we need the cops in the black community. And I have defended the cops. And I think some people in the black community think, police brutality or shooting unarmed black men, which is totally stupid. But we in the black community, we need the cops. I think they're important and significant to the world. They do jobs that we need. Like I say, that don't mean I want them police brutality or shooting unarmed black men. And I'm trying to bridge that gap in one of my shows. Also, I'm trying to talk about the Muslim ban, because we don't blanket everybody with the same brush, and that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about illegal immigration because I think some of these immigrants are amazing, amazing people. We need them in this country. And to act like they're the reason for unemployment and they're eating up our benefits and things, I just think it's BS. So I'm talking about those subjects. I think they're important. They're never going to stop. They're never going to stop. So I'm going to keep using my platform to talk about them.
Are you the executive producer? Do you have total editorial on this, or do you have a team that is suggesting topics to you?
Well, I have teams are suggesting topics to me. I am executive producing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to let anybody put anything with my name and face on unless I 100% agree with it.
No, I get that.
Even people who disagree.
Right.
Like I say, I've taken some heat in the black community for defending the cops. And I've taken some heat in the black community saying we got to do better. Black-on-black crime is an epidemic. It is crazy the way black people are killing each other. It's stupid and ridiculous. Like I say, we're going to have to find a way to work with the cops, but the cops going to have to admit they made some mistakes. And that's the only way this thing going to ever get better.
I'm very pleased to see you do the show, and I hope it's doing well, but it's totally where I think you should be. And it's just one person's opinion, and it's great to see.
I'm thinking it's going really, really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, all four episodes have been taken, and they've really been going well. And we're going to do some more in the future. That's why I'm really excited, because people have really follow them. And like I say, I'm just trying to do positive stuff.
Right.
And that's all I can do.
I'm right there with you. Are you in Cleveland still and people honking at you as we're talking? What is the deal with that?
Yes. But let me tell you something. I'm only going to have to be in Cleveland one more day because this thing is a wrap tomorrow night.
That's a good way to put it. How would you sum up what you've seen through three games?
The Warriors are just a better team. You know, when we were talking about the game last night, I was with Chris Webb and Shaq on the show before the game, and they asked us to pick winners. I said, the Warriors are going to win tonight. He said, well, no, LeBron's going to rise up and Kyrie. I said, they are, but they're still going down. I said, there's nothing I've seen in these first two games to make me think the Cavs got a chance. There's nothing I've seen. The Warriors are just a better team, and they're going to sweep these guys.
And you know, the whole narrative of, is this one of the best teams, and the Durant and Curry, there's just a lot of filler going on that I'm not big on. That's just another way of saying we don't have a competitive series. We're trying to fill time. Do you come down on that?
First of all, Brad, it's just stupid. Because think about this. Okay, think about this.
Yeah.
So we because, you know, in our business, they just make up stuff to talk about.
Right.
And as I was, this the greatest team? I'm like, well, let me ask you a question. Last year they won 73 games. So they won less this year with Kevin Durant. So they won 73 games last year. They were up 3-1 until Draymond went crazy. They would have won last year. So they actually had a better year last year. And then they add Kevin Durant. They should be better.
Right.
But listen, this superstars all want to play together has really hurt the NBA. All these guys, you know, it's very frustrating and disappointing. And I know people say, well, there used to be super teams. Yeah, but they didn't all get together. The Lakers built their team through the draft. They drafted Magic Johnson. They traded for Kareem 20 years earlier. They drafted James Worthy. The Bulls drafted Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. I mean, so, there were other great teams, but all the guys didn't get together and say, this is how we let's get together and dominate the league. That's the big difference.
How do you fix it?
I don't know if you can.
I don't think you can. I don't see how you can.
I don't think you can. I think there's so much money in the NBA now. I mean, think about this. This summer, the Warriors, Draymond Green makes $100 million. Klay Thompson makes $100 million. They're going to get Kevin Durant $200 million. They're going to get Steph Curry $200 million. And they can afford to do it. Because all the TV money is out there.
Right.
They're going to be playing four guys $600 million. You couldn't have did that back in the day.
Right.
Think about that. They're going to be paying four guys $600 million. Four guys. Because there's so much money in television now. Every team can afford to pay all the superstars. So now, and like I say, they all want to play together now. They don't want to compete.
So
that's the problem.
If you're sitting here in Phoenix, what do you do? Because this thing, obviously, you and I have talked about through the years, it's a disaster. It's in the ditch. What can you do in Phoenix? Phoenix is now Sacramento, Minnesota, and Phoenix are the three longest tenured teams out of the playoffs. So I'm sitting here in Phoenix saying there's nothing that they can do here.
That's the problem you got. Another problem you got, Brad, is you're drafting an 18-year-old kid. You don't know if I'm going to be able to play for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
That's why I hate the one-and-done rule. At least when I played, you came in ready to play. But now you're going to draft another 18-year-old kid who probably got some talent, but you don't even know if he's going to be able to play. And then it's going to be time for you to give him $100 million. And that's the problem the NBA's got now.
Plus, back
I mean, we're drafting – we're drafting 18-year-old kids, and you give them a rookie deal, and you're not going to know whether in the first 1, 2, 3 years whether they can play or not. Then you've got to make a decision if you're going to give them $100 million. I mean, that's a really tough way to build your team.
Well, plus you were already making money before you got drafted, so it was good. You're already getting paid, right, Charles?
They say that, allegedly.
Before I let you go, and I appreciate your time, Charles Barkley is joining us from Cleveland. So the 25-year anniversary of you being traded to Phoenix is next week. Crazy to think that it's gone that quick. So I want to go back on this a little bit. When did you first have an idea that you were going to end up in Phoenix? What was that day like for you 25 years ago?
I didn't know it. So if you remember what happened was I had I was on trial for beating the hell out of a guy in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
No, Cleveland. Actually, I'm back here now. So I had beat the hell out of this guy in Cleveland one night. Got acquitted because I didn't do anything wrong. I fly back to Philly with my agent. And he says, let's get together on this letter. Because I had wrote a letter. I was writing a letter to the 76ers saying, I'm never going to play here again. I don't want to make a big stink. The fans been great to me. But y'all not giving me any help. I'm never going to play here again. So we are writing this letter on a Saturday night.
Mm.
I get a call, and we're going to send a letter out Monday morning. I get a call Monday morning saying I've been traded to the Sun. It was one of the happiest days of my life. So we spent the whole weekend after we flew back after the trial, and I wrote this letter thanking the fans, but everybody else, but I'm never coming back to Philadelphia to play basketball again. And I ended up getting traded that next day before we mailed a letter. And it was really a great deal for me. I love playing in Phoenix. I told somebody I used this analogy. Now, people talking about Kevin Durant is playing great. I said, I know why he's playing great. The same reason I played great in Phoenix. When you're a great player on a bad team, you have to do everything. You have to do everything. And that's what Kevin Durant's been through the last few years. And when I got traded to Phoenix and I got my new toys named Dan Majerle, Kevin Johnson, Mark West, Ted Sabalos, I was like a kid at Christmas.
Hmm.
And Kevin Durant's going through the exact same thing. He ain't no better player, but he's got all these shiny new toys around him named Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and the game is easy for him. That's the way I felt exactly when I got to Phoenix. I didn't have to get every rebound. I didn't have to score every basket because I was a much better player in Philly than I was. A much better player in Philly than I was in Phoenix. Because I was at 32 then, so I was starting to get on the downside of my career. But when they gave me them shiny new toys, that's the year I won MVP and we made it to the finals. Then we lost to the Rockets the next 2 years in 7 games. So I know exactly what Kevin Durant's going through. He's going to be like, all them shiny toys. And I really appreciate Jerry and Cotton bringing me to Phoenix. My only mistake, I wish I had got there sooner when I wasn't starting to slow down a little bit.
So the first phone call that you – I know the story about Cotton picking you up at the airport. I've heard that story many times and saying, you know, everything's here. You're here to win and all that. And I'm paraphrasing the story, but I'm curious, who was the very first representative of the Suns to call you on the day of the deal to say this is going down and welcome? Who was it Jerry? Who was it?
You know, that's a great question. It probably was Cotton, because I had been friends with Cotton a lot longer. I'm not sure. I might have said hello to Jerry a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it probably was Cotton. But it was one of the happiest days of my life because I was like, wait a minute. I got Mark West. I got Ted Sabalos. I got Marley. And I got Kevin Johnson. I said, I'm good now. I can compete. That's all I wanted. And I told Cotton that first day, I said, hey, man, we're going to the finals because I'm the best player in the Western Conference. I think I look forward to playing the Bulls in the finals. And he looked at me like, how do you know we're going to the finals? I said, there's nobody out West can touch me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's nobody out here. I said, I got help now. I said, I got some help now. I said, we're going to the finals. You got my word on that. We're going to the finals. But it was really a great thing when I came to Phoenix.
Some people didn't like or don't like Phoenix when they first come. They don't know what it's like to live out here. Were you of that mindset, or had you already been familiar with Phoenix before the deal?
I didn't know. No, because when you play, first of all, anybody who lives in Phoenix like I do, it's one of the greatest places in the world.
Yep, agreed.
And players don't know anything about Phoenix because you go there to play a game. You're not there more than a day or two. I mean, a lot of times you just fly in for the game. And another time you fly in the night before the game, and then you just there, you go grab dinner somewhere, you might go out and have some fun, you play the game, and you get the hell on. Anybody who's ever spent any time in Phoenix, no, man, it is nice there.
But did
I tell you what, listen, there are so many professional athletes who live in Arizona that people don't even know. Yeah. Like I'm when I'm living there, I see, they're like, dude, as long as you get the hell out of Phoenix during the summer, it's the greatest place in the world to live. I mean, I know so many guys who live in Phoenix who play other sports who know it's just an amazing place.
Let me go back on a couple other things with the Suns. You have a minute, or do you got to run? You okay on time?
Yeah, I got a minute.
Okay. Player on that team when you first got here that should have done more with his career but didn't. And there's a few guys I think you could name. I'm just curious, when you look back on that team 25 years later, of the championship team.
Richard Dumas is the first name. If he could have kept himself clean and everything. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if I played with a more talented player than Richard Dumas.
Did you guys know what was going on with him, Charles, within the locker room?
No. You know, it's so funny. I played in the NBA for 16 years, and I've never seen drugs. But I will say this. You know, I had a brother who died who was involved in that drug scene.
Mm-hmm.
When I went back and played it in my mind, there were symptoms that I know he should have been on drugs. Because, like I say, my brother died at a young age because of drugs. And as I got older, I learned the symptoms. I should have, now that I go back and play in my mind, there was a lot of warning signs on Richards that we probably didn't help him with, because we didn't really know. Because, like, it's not like a guy's got drugs in the locker room or anything like that. The guy never did drugs around us, and so we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. It's one of those deals where I look back on that team and just go through the names, and that's the one that jumps out at me as well. Do you ever give Ainge hard time about not rotating over to Paxson?
No. I just spent the last week and a half with Danny. And all we talk about is 172 grandkids he got. He's got like 20 grandkids. But that's, I mean, you know what, man? We just talk about Phoenix was the greatest thing to happen to me, because the more we had a chance to win, that's all you wanted, the chance to win. But I just, you know, I found the place where I'm going to spend the rest of my life until I kill over. It's just a wonderful city.
You're in Philly for the summer, right? You go Philly and then back here.
Yeah, it's too hot to live in Arizona. I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
It's too hot to live out there during the summer.
Well, invite me back there as a guest. I'll be your house guest.
You guys, hey, Seth, you got an open invitation to come back to Philly for the summer for a weekend.
I would love to do that and get out of here.
I don't allow people to stay more than a weekend. Mm-hmm. That makes you annoying if you stay more than a weekend.
Kick their ass out. Last question. What's next for you with this TNT thing? I'm seeing you evolve in that space. Charles, Donald Trump won the presidency of our country. You and I have talked politics for years. I'm hearing that the head of Facebook, you know, I'm hearing all sorts of names of people thinking of doing the political thing. You and I have kind of joked and talked in general terms about it. Anything can happen with you, right? What's next for you?
You know, Brad, number one, I'm just so disappointed how stupid these people are. You know, our public political system has become a joke. You got, like I say, anytime I hear the term Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative, I know a bunch of BS is going to come right after that. I wish they would abolish both political systems. Too much money has ruined politics. Way too much money has ruined politics. Neither one of these parties are doing nothing for these people. I just feel sad that the greatest country in the world has been ruined by the entire political process. And I'm a Democrat, but they're not doing anything either.
Ruined, though? Ruined? You're using the word ruined. Really?
They're ruining this country. Ruining.
Okay, all right.
They are ruining this country, the Democrats and the Republicans. They just yell and scream. Nothing gets accomplished. And I just feel bad for the American people.
Stay well. I appreciate your time, as always. We'll see each other down the road. Thank you.
Anytime, my brother. And God bless. Have a great summer.
Thank you, Charles. It's Charles Barkley with us from Cleveland. Good Eat the Movies is next. We'll switch gears and go right to Bill. We'll do that after this timeout. AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film Critic. A lot to digest there from Charles Barkley. I'm Brad Sismat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it's time to turn our attention. You need to get a life, guys. You can't just sit around and watch sports all weekend, especially bad basketball. We go from Charles Barkley to Bill Goodykunz. Bill Goodykunz, AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic. How are you?
I'm good. If the person who really needs a life is me, because I've been sitting around since 7 o'clock watching the James Comey hearings.
Now, I have two. I find them... I'm not sure where John McCain was today, Bill. He had a bad day, I thought.
He had a horrible day.
Yeah.
That has become one of the it's interesting, but and partly it's because it was the he was the last one to ask questions.
Right.
But, so I mean, you know, and everybody, he can, I think everybody's kind of waiting for big things from him. But that was just, I mean, it was unusual to say the least. And it's since it was last, it's going to be the thing that people remember.
Sure. And for those who have not seen it, because we're taping this, it's 10:45 in the morning and people watch this at 10:45 at night or in the afternoon, whatever. Whenever you see this, all you need to do is go on Twitter and Google John McCain, because it's going to grow as the day progresses. So just search John McCain.
He's trending.
No, is he trending? Yeah, I'm sure he is.
He's trending, just not in the way that he had hoped.
Nah, that's not a good place to be trending. I think I'm looking at it right now. He's trending ahead of Comey and Hillary Clinton and Comey hearings. It was a bad day for him. I feel bad for him on that. What are you taking away from that? What are you taking away so far for Comey to come right out and call Trump a liar? And he didn't have any notes. He didn't have any notes in front of him, Bill. He just looked right straight ahead and said, "Here's the deal." Hammered him.
He said, "I documented my conversations with him because I was afraid he might lie about it."
Right.
And it was it was amazing. I mean, it's. And now I've read some stuff, and there's probably some truth to this. It said, you know, you need to, a little bit here, treat James Comey like a disgruntled former employee. I mean, they did fire him from, the highest job he could ever hope for in his life. But it was bizarre, and it reminded me a lot, frankly, of big sporting events like the Super Bowl, at least in terms of social media. Because, you know, just like in the Super Bowl, there's pregame stuff, there's postgame stuff. Memes develop. I mean, I think when Comey said, "Lordy, I hope there are tapes." that instantly became, something that people talked about. It reminded me a lot of the Super Bowl, actually, or even, you know, for whatever reason, what's really fun in social media is the World Cup, because then you get stuff from all over the world.
Go! You get the soccer goals, and but you know what I found? Like even here today at the studios, so there's a bank of TVs in one of the studios, and all of them are doing the Comey viewing parties today, which I think it's pretty cool to see our country. I saw in San Francisco they're doing Comey viewing parties at sports bars. It is like the NFL on a Sunday morning that people are paying so much attention. In a day where media is supposedly dying on the vine, news consumption is thriving like never before because of this type of stuff, which is great.
I think that, you know, for all his hatred for the media, no president has empowered the media more than Trump since Nixon.
That's a strong statement. All right, let's get to the movies. Your review of The Mummy I was laughing and chuckling this morning because I really like Tom Cruise, and then you'd go on and crush the movie. And then I really like Tom Cruise. So let's talk about The Mummy, because that's the big buzz movie this weekend. Is it worth seeing?
Well, maybe we should talk about Tom Cruise. No, it's not worth seeing. It's horrible.
it's
big and it's giant. And what it is... It's, you know how they're like, maybe this is too fanboy geekish, but you know, there's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe or whatever, and that's all of those, you know, the Avenger guys and all those characters in their movies. And then DC, I forget what they call theirs, but there's a DC Extended Universe or something like that, and that's Batman and Superman and all that. Well, Universal, who used to be famous for horror movies in the 50s and the 40s, they're trying to do one with horror characters. And I can't give a lot away about what happens in this movie, but it's very much an origin story of a group that eventually will grow to include the Invisible Man, and I would think the werewolf and Frankenstein's monster. And they kind of are bad good guys, maybe like a Suicide Squad sort of thing, except with these monsters. And so it's just all over the place, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's ridiculous, and it's gigantic, and it, it's a big who cares. I mean, you're just not invested in any of it, except, of course, for Tom Cruise.
But a Tom Cruise movie has to have a scene where he's running. Give me a Tom Cruise movie where he's not moving his arms up and down and trying to run. There's always that. But you're saying, because there's been some dreadful Tom Cruise movies. And I like Tom Cruise.
I do, too. And I don't know, you know, when you talk about it that way, it makes sense. But I'm not sure. But in a movie like Minority Report or something, I think he's great.
Right.
He's. I mean, you see why he's a movie star, you know? But then you get something like this. I mean, you know, he's like the rest of us. He not only does he have bills to pay, I'm assuming he has bigger bills to pay than we do. You know, his house probably costs a little more than mine did.
That's good.
But I will, I mean, you know, you talk about him running. Yes, he's running in this. Yes, he's shirtless in this.
Okay.
Yes, he
all's
has.
All's well in the world.
It's a hat trick. You know, it's the whole, it's the Tom Cruise, you know, smorgasbord of movie cliches. But he's good at that stuff. And he, you know, he's, but it's just the story is just so dumb. And it just goes nowhere. And you wonder for a little bit, like, what is, you know, what is going to happen here? And no, don't let that happen. And, oh, yeah, well.
You've seen this before. You know, All right. Let's get off this one then. So let's go over it, because I do think I've heard Daniel Blake is really good. I've heard that. And Rotten Tomatoes scored it well, but I am more concerned with your opinion because I respect your opinion more than Rotten Tomatoes. Is this movie really good? Because it's only showing at Hark and Shea from what I've seen.
It is very good. And it's about this. It's just a scathing damnation of the British, you know, like what would you call it, benefit system. And the guy's lost his job because he had a heart attack and fell off scaffolding. His doctors say he can't work. A bureaucrat, a clerk, says, no, I think you can. So he's got to spend 35 hours a week looking for work that he can't accept when he gets it. So it just goes round and round. And I should say that you may fall under the mistaken impression that it's kind of cute or it's kind of sweet or something. It's really depressing and really sad more than anything else. But it's what we're seeing. Just, I think that some people are going to go into it thinking, oh, well, this is going to work out well. And it's like, no.
When the lights come up, you're just depressed about it. So this has to do with healthcare system?
So this has to do with this guy. He's lost his job, and there's somebody else, a woman who can't afford her home and her kids and stuff, and he helps them out, and he just wants to help people out. But he's stuck in just this nightmare. And I'm sure that you've had a version of this in your life. He waits 48 minutes on hold for somebody to, you know, for a bureaucrat to come on and say, oh, I can't really help you. You know, and it's sort of like that, but it's I can't remember the actor's name. I didn't know him, but he's mostly a stand-up comic, and he's really good. I definitely recommend it. I can't say it's going to make you feel good at the end of it. It'll make you feel, like, righteously angry, but I guess that's something.
I got it. Last movie, then, My Cousin Rachel is coming out this weekend.
My Cousin Rachel is Rachel Weisz, who is always good, and she's... It's this period piece. It's the woman who wrote The Birds and who wrote Rebecca wrote this book. So she wrote it in the 50s, but it's set in around the 1850s. And this guy's cousin dies, and he blames his wife because the guy had written these kind of crazy letters before he died. And he plans to, like, you know, have her jailed or killed or something. But then when he meets her, of course, he falls in love with her. And then he starts to get sick. And it's like, whoa, what's going on here? And so there's a lot of, like, in fact, I believe the first lines of the movie are, did she or didn't she? So it's sort of like that. It's pretty cool. I liked it a lot. You gotta know what you're getting into. It's a costume drama, but, you know, there's a lot of intrigue and stuff like that.
Is it a chick flick though? I'm staring, here's the deal. I'm staring at my 28th wedding anniversary Saturday night. And she wants to go see something, and I told her Cars 3 is on Monday for a screening, and let's just go do that. But she wants to go see something.
Well, imagine that somebody for their 28th anniversary might want to do something a little better.
I
want to see Cars 3.
That's, you know, when you have four kids, that's the deal. And I don't want to go see Cars, but I'm going to. I'll see you there on Monday, I'm guessing, right?
I'm guessing. It's not that... It's actually not that romantic. It's good, but it's not very romantic. I mean, things are, it's not
romance, Bill. It's 28 years and four kids. We don't know what romance. We don't know how to spell romance, Bill. Come on.
Here's what I'm going to recommend that everybody do. Go to see a movie this weekend called It Comes at Night. But it's a horror movie.
Beautiful.
It's not an anniversary movie. But I thought it was the best movie of the week. These people are holed up. There's some plague killing people everywhere. These people are holed up in a house in the woods, and this other family needs to move in with them. And it's not the kind of horror movie that you think it is, but it's very good, and I really liked it. And I really hope a lot of people go see that.
All right. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time, as always. Thanks.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I'll see you Monday, I think. There you go. Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. That is our show for today. We want to thank the people behind the scenes, as always. Jared Nielsen and Edwin Rodriguez. Eric Sorensen produces, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen. I want to thank our sponsors. Without our sponsors, we are not doing this. And we've been doing this for 5.5 years now because of our great sponsors. So please support them. I am Brad Sussmat. Check out our content over on sports360az.com. Thanks for being with us.